Hi, I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Amberine Siraj, director of the Cybersecurity Education, Research, and Outreach Center at Tennessee Tech, where she is also a professor at the Computer Science Department. Amberine is also the founder of WISIS, the only nonprofit membership organization with national reach that is dedicated to bringing together women in cybersecurity from academia, research, and industry to share knowledge, experience, networking, and mentoring. To learn more about Amberine and WISIS, visit WICYSWISIS.org. Welcome, Amberine. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
So, Amberine, before we get into WISIS, let's talk about your real job. I know that you're a professor at heart more than anything else. Your volunteer time goes to WISIS. So tell us about what you do at Tennessee Tech on a daily basis.
So I am a professor in computer science, but I also lead our Cybersecurity Education, Research, and Outreach Center, in short, CROC, that I founded in 2015. So we are a unique center in our university, and I would say in the state, where we integrate activities and initiatives in cybersecurity education, research, and outreach for the state, for our region, and even for the country. So my job is like other professors. I teach, I do research, but as a center director, I write grants, I go after grant opportunities, I manage them, execute them. We support students through academic advising, research advising. I have master's students, PhD students working on cybersecurity problems. So that's about it. That's my day.
Well, speaking of grants, you created WISIS through an NSF grant 6 years ago.
Yes.
Since then, the organization has grown into a wonderful alliance among academia, government, and industry. Can you take us back to the beginning and tell us, where did the idea for WISIS come from, and how did you get it off the ground?
So I actually referred to it as WISIS, like We the Cyber Sisters. But when I was in grad school, my advisor was Dr. Ray Vaughan, and he is one of the early leaders of cybersecurity education and workforce development in the country. And being his student, I guess I also fell in love with doing something meaningful for the greater community. And as a computer scientist, I always loved the fact that cybersecurity provides so many opportunities to apply CS skills and knowledge in problem solving. What I did not understand, though, is why aren't there more like me in this field that is so critical and desperate for more able bodies? So in grad school, I was the only female student in our security lab, only female student of my professor. And then later on in my teaching career, I would again be the only or one of the few females in the class. So I just wanted to do something to show someone like me that there are many others like me, that there are so many opportunities to reach out for in cyber, that there are wonderful role models to learn from, there are resources to take advantage of. And that's why I wrote the proposal in 2012 that was funded in 2013, and the first conference happened in 2014. And later on, it became a community of cyber professionals who happened to be women and underrepresented.
Well, before we go any further, I just want to say WISIS and correct myself. There's a lot of industry acronyms and names of associations, and people read it differently, but
yes,
I'm going to keep reminding myself. I just wrote it down on a piece of paper.
That's WISIS. Totally fine.
So, Amberine, just tell me quickly before we jump into some other questions, going back to that grant, how much work was that? How extensive of a process is it to author a grant and go through the whole process to, you know, finally get an award?
It's actually getting National Science Foundation grants is very competitive. I mean, the acceptance rates are low. And when we submitted the grant, it was not just Tennessee Tech. We were the lead, but we had Jackson State Community College and University of Memphis with us. And the goal of the grant was broadening participation of women in cybersecurity, because back in 2012, the women's representation of cyber was only 11%. So one of the small portion of the grant was doing the conference. And, you know, National Science Foundation said, you know, Ambreen, you want to do this, but seriously, there isn't going to be too many people. So we'll just give you an experimental small grant for the conference. So they gave us $70,000 to do WSIS for 2 years for a total of 250 women in cyber. And the first year we did it, me and my students, and, you know, that was a totally, you know, university venture. We ended up in the first year, 350 people. And then over 6-7 years, it grew and grew, and very organically, and word spread, and people and companies that support diversity and inclusion, they got on board and more followed. So it's really a very grassroots organization that just came from collective hard work of, you know, I started this, my students helped, my staff helped, and then we found great friends on the way, like yourself, and, you know, especially I want to mention Dr. Janelle Stark. I met her at one of the conference, and she brought a bunch of students, and she saw the impact of the conference on her students, and she got more and more involved. And right now, you know, she's the chair of the board for the WSIS organization. So, you know, it's really a community of like-minded people who want to do something meaningful, not for profit, not for self-serving reason, for just to do something for the community.
Well, you're living proof of a vision, bringing that into a reality. I can't believe that you started out with $70,000. I mean, that's a very small sum of money for staging a conference of that scale, even early on. I mean, that's really unbelievable. I imagine you had a lot of support then from Tennessee Tech, where you are.
Yes, of course. I mean, Tennessee Tech managed the grant. We kept doing NSF cost extension. We didn't ask money from NSF, but since we collected money or funding from industry, we could keep the project alive. And one thing I want to mention, Steve, is WSIS is different from other conferences in two ways. One is we always work very hard to ensure that half of the conference attendees are always students, from freshman to PhD, and the other half are non-students or professionals. So it's half of the group that are trying to get into cyber and half of the group that want more like them in cyber. And this half group, the students, the conference provides them lodging, meals. They only pay like $35 or $40. It started with $15 fee just for accountability. So 100% of all the students that come to the conference, they are taken care of by the conference. So it is not a money-making conference. All the support that we get from our industry folks, we basically give it out to make the conference accessible to students, for veterans, for people that are trying to get into cyber.
So last year, in 2019, how many students approximately made it to the WSIS conference?
So last year, I mean, the last time we had the physical conference, right? Is that mm-hmm. what you were
Yes.
Thing. I think it was around, let me check that number because I don't, you know, in 2020, the one that we canceled, there were around 750 students.
It's written to the hundreds of students who were coming or who were at least
yes,
last year.
Yes, but in 2019, one, the last conference we physically had, I would say around 600 students were there. But last year, 750 of them got scholarship and they were ready to come. But, you know, that didn't happen.
Right. Well, speaking of WESIS 2020, the conference, which unfortunately was canceled, like so many other conferences, not only in our industry, but globally,
yeah,
due to the COVID-19 restrictions and pandemic. WESIS was amazing. You know, you pivoted so quickly and went virtual. Tell us about that. You know, how you came together as a group internally, the decision you made, and what you did.
Well, you know, we were watching everything, how things were going. And, you know, we tried to do it because, you know, so many, especially we were worried about the students because they made their flight arrangements and they were coming and, you know, if they were not going to get reimbursed for their travel if they did not actually made it or did the travel. So we kept watching, but 1 week before we understood that it's really not possible and we were going to put our community in danger if we forcefully wanted to do this. So we opted to cancel the conference. And then, you know, now we have extraordinary executive director, Lynn Dom, who is as selfless and passionate that I can ask for. And she immediately looked into alternative and came up with this solution with vSphere, which we already had a partnership with. And we polled our community and all the sponsors and partners, they were on board and we quickly came together as a community and had the virtual summit.
Now, is the plan going forward in 2021 to bring the live conference back?
Of course, because, you know, we saw that there is a lot of value to virtual summit in a sense that, you know, we try to keep the physical attendance at the conference under some restrictions because, you know, the more people come there, the more we have to make sure half of them are students. That means all of the cost is on us. Plus, we want to have the community feeling because one of the things we noticed at very large conferences that they lose that community feeling and we didn't want to do that. So when we do the summit, you know, it's open to our membership. So a lot of people can join regardless of whether they can come to the conference. But coming to the conference physically, meeting people face to face. And I don't know if you know this, but women are big huggers. And, and we missed hugging people at the virtual summit. And that has such a, you know, big power to it. Seeing and interacting with people that look same or similar, that empowerment of a group together. So we still want to do this next year, and we are hoping that we will be able to pull it off, but we are going with multiple different contingency plans, and you know, we are not going to, as I said, put our people in danger or the community in danger, but we will observe, and we are still planning to have a physical conference in 2021.
So, Amberine, sometimes it's not until you have a direct experience that you can fully appreciate, you know, how meaningful something is, in this case, your conference. And even after our team being out at the WESIS 2019 conference, for me, the tipping point was a parent got in touch with us because his daughter was a minor and getting ready to go into school, working with her, you know, making plans. And she had, I forget exactly how, I'm not going to, you know, mention any names. I forget exactly how she wound up at the conference, but, you know, she was there with her dad. And that was like just, you know, the highlight for her of what she had done and was just so excited about it. And then the following year, she was older and, you know, able to go. And then we spoke to some students at Hofstra University, which is local to us here on Long Island. And one of your affiliates, if I have the name right, is that what you call them, affiliates?
Yes, you're right.
The enthusiasm level was just unbelievable. It was as if the girls were really part of WESIS, even though they're here, you know, on Long Island.
That's exactly what WESIS is. You know, when people join WESIS, they find their tribe. They find role models, mentors, others like them who are going through the same challenges. And they network, they share, and that's what WESIS is about. And I will tell you, Steve, you know, having a full-time job, I mean, if you took WESIS out of my life is already crazy with so many different things I do. But WESIS takes a big chunk of my time as well. But what keeps me going is all the time I hear so many stories, heartwarming stories, how WESIS made an impact in someone's life and how they got into cyber. And these people, they come back again to help others, just like WESIS helped them. So it is really a community of pay it forward. And I am a big advocate for paying forward. And I always tell my students, always, and I kind of dig it in their brain, that in cyber, they have to do three things. Continuous learning, they have to learn every day. Crowdsource learning, that means not one person can know anything. So we all learn and we all share with each other. We all help others to learn. And number three, paying it forward, because that's how this cybersecurity community is going to move forward.
Well, I really want you to know, Ambreen, that it's working. And sometimes you just get a unique perspective when you step outside of WESIS and you hear what other people have to say. We had a group here from MasterCard. And I think they were one of your sponsors for WESIS.
Yes. Yes.
And there were a couple of young women who work there now in cybersecurity. And so now they're in the field already. So, you know, that was their dream. That was what they wanted. Now they're in. But they were so excited about going to WESIS this year, which hopefully now they'll make it next year, so that they could give back. And they wanted to connect now with some of the college students. You know, they're just 2, 3, 4 years older now. So, you know, you're right. They're definitely, you know, still very much involved.
Yes. So we are very blessed to have a community like that. And, you know, Steve, you just recently came up with a new stat that women's representation in cyber has increased. It's 24%. That's wonderful. And I don't want to say that WESIS is behind that, but I would say initiatives like WESIS, and we are not the only one. There are others like us. We are different, but we are all working with our own strength. You know, Women in Cyber Jutsu, EWF, Diane Initiative, WISP. I mean, there are others, handful, but still there are others. And you know, everyone has their own passion. Everyone brings in something unique to the community. And, you know, I say the more the merrier. I mean, because I you know, I don't think WESIS alone can reach out to everyone who needs. Maybe there is someone who is more reachable by WISP or Cyber Jutsu. So we need everyone on the table and we need everyone's own unique strength.
I think we're moving in the right direction, Ambreen. You know better than I do, but it was, I think, 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, that the Girl Scouts of the USA announced cybersecurity badges for the first time.
Yes.
And Sylvia Acevedo, CEO, is wonderful. We've filmed with her a couple of times. And one of our favorite memories is having two Girl Scout troops in here. And we filmed them and, you know, they went through a training program. It was great to watch them. And, you know, those are the young girls. So we're talking about girls who are in kindergarten and then first grade and, you know, working up to 12th grade and ultimately getting involved with RESIS.
That's wonderful. And the thing is, you know, these initiatives for women in cyber are people who are minorities in cyber. It's just not a problem for diversity. It's a problem for pipeline. Because, you know, you come up with all these stats, you know, there is so much demand in jobs for cybersecurity. You know, things won't change. Our lives in technology is not going to go away. And there will always be people that will try to abuse the technology. So we need more people in cyber, period. And if you need more people in cyber and you want to get more people in cyber, you have to reach out to all colors, shape, ages, everyone, and recruit from everyone. Especially, you know, women represents 50% of STEM workforce. So to build cybersecurity, effective, diverse, strong cybersecurity workforce, you have to recruit from that group.
So, Amberine, I want to ask you a personal question before we, you know, say goodbye.
Yes.
You're always so upbeat. You have such an inspirational message. You know, I love to hear from you. And you've been through so much recently, you know, with everything we're going through right now with the COVID-19 pandemic, people forget that Tennessee was hit with the tornado not long ago.
Oh, yes.
So you've just been through so much, and even now, you know, working from home, how do you stay, you know, so optimistic?
How do I stay optimistic? Honestly, I don't have time to be negative, because I am always, personally, I'm always thinking about, you know, what's next? How do we move forward with that? Whether that's my university, my center, my students, WESIS, what always drives me is what's next and how do we do meaningful things for the community. And, you know, I am a lot better off than so many people who are so badly affected by tornadoes or COVID-19. So every single day I am blessed. I feel blessed and honored that I am healthy, that my family is healthy, my work is secured. So I just don't have any excuse to feel bad or feel negative and not do something for what's next.
Well, I want to tell you something, Amberine, that you deserve to hear, and it's not from me. This is from hundreds of thousands of people who are in the cybersecurity community. And I know from just talking to so many people, we have a lot of readers. So we love you, Amberine. The work that you're doing is amazing in our industry.
Well, thank you so much for the kind words, but I will tell you this, it's not just me. WESIS is a community. There is no single face for WESIS. You know, a group of people working together can make anything success, whether it's CROC or WESIS or your magazine. What you have done is wonderful. And you know that the secret ingredient is selfless passion.
You're so right about that, Amberine, and I really want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve. And I really hope, Steve, that one day you can come to WESIS and be part of WESIS. So maybe next year, have that date in your calendar now.
Absolutely.
If we be there, I hope you can come with your daughter.
I will. I look forward to it. I have four daughters. Maybe I'll bring all of them.
Yes, please bring all of them.
Can I bring my sons too?
Yes, of course. WISIS is very inclusive. Very okay. inclusive. We, the more the merrier. I mean, it is, we need, as I said, we cannot exclude, we cannot afford to exclude everyone, anyone.
Well, again, thank you so much. I want to just give a quick shout out to somebody, Di Fries. She's my co-author of the
yes.
book, Women Know Cyber, and she's fantastic, and she's been writing a series of profiles on women in cybersecurity, a lot of diversity, people from all over the world. So I had to just give her that quick shout
yes,
out.
Yes, she is wonderful, and I hope I can meet her someday.
All right. Well, thank you, Amberine. I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was Amberine Siraj, founder of WISIS, the only nonprofit membership organization with national reach that is dedicated to bringing together women in cybersecurity from academia, research, and industry to share knowledge, experience, networking, and mentoring. To learn more about Amberine and WISIS, visit WISIS.org. You can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.